This session is entitled Developing an Effective Internship Program. But a couple of preliminaries. Effective is a relative term. I rather like some of the sessions at one of the other Brotherhood workshops that says, this is what we do, it might work for you. So that's the approach that I'll take in what I'm going to present this afternoon. I guess probably a good question would be, why are you talking about this subject? I went to Memphis School of Preaching in 2002 and immediately began working with the Cordova Church of Christ in the Memphis area, and working alongside a preacher by the name of Jerry Martin, and worked with him for 2 years while in school, and then they brought me on there as an intern for a year. So I have worked in an internship, and then they kept me there for one more year in an associate role. And I can tell you that those 4 years were the most valuable years to me as a preacher, because of the opportunity to work alongside of and with someone who was really interested in helping me learn as a young preacher. In 2011, I began talking with the elders at Roanoke about becoming the local preacher there. And they made me aware that they had started an intern program at Roanoke and wanted to know how I felt about that, what my thoughts were about such a program, because that was important to them with respect to the preacher that was going to be working there. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later. But the elders at Roanoke had the vision of providing a working environment for young preachers so that they could learn and get some practical experience before going out on their own in local work. The need for training is apparent. I don't think I have to spend any time trying to prove or demonstrate that this afternoon. And I think we are in a situation that makes it even more apparent today. I mean, think about how many young men are going to preaching school right out of high school. I mean, very, very young. And they have no practical experience. It's not their fault. They're moving from at a very young age into a work that is going to present challenges to them that they're probably not ready for. So the need is apparent. I wish every congregation could team up with a preaching school and take an intern for 1 or 2 years at least immediately after they graduate from school. I think our longevity as preachers would be improved. Our confidence in our ability to do the work would improve. And so if I don't say anything else today that challenges you and your local congregation to consider this, think about that. Just think about the need to give these young men and even their families such an opportunity. I like a session like this because when we're done, you can completely disagree with everything that I've said, and both of us can still go to heaven. These are my opinions from experience, and that's it. We've had, in the course of my time at Roanoke, we've had 3 interns, and we've had 2 good ones. Just kidding. We've had 3 great guys. Ross was the intern when I arrived, and I hesitate to even call him that because he had been doing the work for, I think, 7 months before I got there. And I think I recall telling him, you know, whatever I can do to help you, we're not going to go backwards. You've been doing the work. But I enjoyed working with Ross, with David Almost, and John Williams have been the 3 men that work with us at Roanoke. So here, I have an outline here, just some very practical things for you to consider relative to this. And here's the first one. What is an internship program? What is it? It's not cheap labor, brethren. It's not. It's not an opportunity to bring a person into the congregation to have a spare preacher, and that even at a lower salary than what you're accustomed to paying him. And I'm not suggesting that that's what everybody thinks, but don't think of it that way. The dictionary says an internship is the position of a student in order to gain work experience. And that experience is extremely important. I like to look at it as training wheels on local work. I think that's a good way to look at it. With a child riding a bicycle, the training wheels are there to keep them from turning over. And you gradually move those training wheels out of the way and give them a little more liberty and freedom as they learn how to ride that bike. I've told our interns that the way I see my job is to help you learn how not to step on landmines. And there are a lot of landmines in local work. It might be in your relationship with the elders. It might be, and not that doesn't even imply that there's anything wrong with the preacher or the elders. It's just that relationship and that dynamic is unique. Working with members in the congregation, what you say from the pulpit can be a landmine on which you step. There are some incidental lessons that come along with helping in an internship. I taught David on one occasion how to eat at a restaurant and leave without paying. And we both realized it at the same time and called each other. When we got back to Chili's, there were 3 cop cars in the parking lot. They weren't there for us, but you can learn a lot in an internship. That's what an internship program is, at least in my opinion, in my view. It is an environment that is somewhat safe where you can gain work experience. And I needed that as a young preacher, and I dare say most of us do. Why isn't preaching school sufficient? There's a good question to ponder. Before becoming a preacher, I spent 12 years in the Air Force, 9 of that in law enforcement as a security policeman. There was a lot of academic training in that job, a lot of schooling to prepare me and others for that work, but that training was good for training, but it did not qualify as experience. It's very academic. It's not experience. You can spend 2 years in preaching school and not know what to do when you're accompanying a member of the church, or in my case, Brother Martin, to the home of a family within the first week of my being there, because the wife had died in bed at home unexpectedly. I had no idea what to do. Or when you're rushing to the emergency room to be with a family whose child is on life support because the family has been involved in a car accident. Preaching school can't teach you how to deal with things like that. I remember we had some mock funerals, and we would stand around the property at the school of preaching and pretend to be having funerals, but it's all academic. There's no real experience in that. Some might ask, where's the authority for this? I've never been asked that, but some might want and the people that typically want to know about that, they're the ones who do just this in this kind of way. So, but I'll tell you anyway, I think of Jesus' example with the apostles. I mean, on-the-job training. I think of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you've learned of me, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And maybe even look at it from the perspective of some of the preaching schools or the congregations that have preaching schools that are considered to be an extension of their Bible class program. You can look at it that way. I think there's plenty of authority in the Word of God in this realm, and I would say the realm of expediency, which an eldership has every right to engage in, that there's plenty of authority for it. Preaching school is not enough, really, because it lacks the environment where you can get the on-the-job training and the practical experience. Thirdly, should my congregation have an internship program? I think if you're considering that, and that's a question you have, this would be the first question I would ask you. Why do you want to have an internship program? Why do you want to do it? There's a tendency to do things just because you see it being done somewhere else. I mean, think about some of the digressions that take place among us. It's not that people realize it was a good idea. They just saw this congregation doing it or another congregation doing it. So let's do that. So I would caution us against starting an internship program just because we see that happening and we think it would be a nice thing to do. There needs to be some deep consideration of that in a congregation. Why do we want to have an internship program? And hopefully the answer to that would be, well, we recognize the need for young preachers or preachers in general to have an environment where they can learn in a safe environment, where if they say something wrong in the pulpit or if they get crossed with the elders unintentionally, they're not fired. They have an environment where they can learn what was wrong, why it was wrong, and how they could have better handled that situation. That's what we envision, and that's what we try to do at Roanoke. I'll not mention any names because that's not important. The principle is, but I remember of one occasion during our program, one of the young men, one of the preachers, had said something from the pulpit that wasn't intended to be questionable, but it was left questionable. And so when he got back to the back of the auditorium, one of the elders talked to him about it, and he said, we can handle this in one of two ways. You can go back and make that right and just explain it and clear it up, or we can do it. It doesn't matter. We'll do it either way. And he said, I'll do it. And he went back, and he brought the clarity that needed to be brought to that situation. A very admirable attitude about that, very receptive attitude. But where do you get that kind of opportunity, you know, in local work? It's a safe place. So if you think your congregation can provide that kind of environment where a man has the opportunity to own a misstep or a mistake and correct it and learn from it, then I think you're on the right track in answering the question, why do we want to do this? Here's a second answer to why or should my congregation have an internship program. Can you afford to fully compensate a second preacher? Again, brethren, this is my opinion, but I don't think it's a good idea to have an internship that's a tent maker situation where he's working all the time in a secular job. That seems to defeat the purpose to me. I think he needs to be there and be available so the preacher can grab him and say, here's a learning opportunity. Let's go. And it will be a challenge to do that if he's having to work full time to support his family. So the monetary part of it is very important. You need to be able to support him. And remember, again, and I'll come back to this in a minute, but it's not cheap labor. It's going to be hard for him to learn. If he's worried about the food and the rent and everything, the right mindset and the right environment is one where he can focus on the practical aspects of preaching. He'll learn soon enough how to make it on little. But give him an environment where he doesn't have to worry about that so he can learn some things. Should my congregation have an internship program? I think this is, I know this is extremely important, and this is what my elders were getting at when they interviewed me for the job. What is your preacher's attitude toward the idea? If he is not on board, don't do it. I better be careful, because I think the next thing from that might be, if you're going to have an internship, you might need a different preacher to... I said I wasn't going to say anything that's going to get me in trouble, didn't I? But I'm thinking about Saul and David, right? I remember the praise that David got. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And you know what Saul did? He eyed David from that day forward. Can your preacher handle it when the intern preaches one Sunday, and then at the back of the auditorium at the meet and greet, one of the members says, "We ought to get rid of you and hire him." Can he handle that? Or is that going to affect him in a way that will impact that working relationship? The preacher's attitude is extremely important in regard to this. Should my congregation have an internship program? I would say yes. But there are some questions that need to be asked, and there are some decisions that need to be made before that. Number four, some of these are going pretty quickly, but there's some practical specifics I want to talk about in just a minute. What are some suggested goals? I had in my mind what they ought to be, but I went back and I asked my elders again and said, when you started this, what did you have in mind? Why did you do this? And this is what they said, which I think preachers and elders will agree with these when I mention them. The first one is, we wanted to teach them time management. That will make you or break you as a preacher. And so we have incorporated that into our program to teach time management. Communication was the second one. Communication with elders. Communication with the members to help him learn how to communicate, which it doesn't always come naturally. I mean, you think about it. You come out of preaching school after 2 years. You're on fire. You're ready to preach. And you might have the idea that the people are just going to line up in the middle aisle and correct everything that's broken about their lives. And when you don't see that, you're likely to get frustrated. And you might say something in frustration. And if you do that in a solo work, you might be dismissed. But here, you have an opportunity to learn that that's not the best way to handle it. Something else the elders said, they wanted to give an environment where he could hone his preaching ability. David and John, for sure, could attest to the fact that we've made them regularly turn in sermon outlines, whether they were preaching or not, to put them in a position where they were constantly honing and crafting their ability to put together lessons. It's a crazy dynamic, because you have a full-time preacher, but you have an intern, and the more you put the intern in the pulpit, the more people are wondering why the preacher's not in the pulpit. You know, so it's hard for him to get the experience. So you have to have a congregation that understands what you're doing. But it's an opportunity to hone preaching ability. And one other thing from the elders, they wanted to give the young man the opportunity to develop a network of support. That's very important for him to know that he's not alone. You think about, I think it was Brother Mosier that said in preaching school, we have it backwards in the brotherhood. He said, we take the experienced preachers and we send them to the established congregations with good leadership, and we take the young guys straight out of preaching school and send them to congregations with no leadership, very difficult situations. And they get out there and they're all alone. They don't have a network of support, and many of them quit. I think it would probably be good for us to do some research in that area. Somebody look at what the longevity is of our preachers in these various situations. Maybe we could turn some of that around. But the network of support is important. I'm allowed to go to Polishing the Pulpit every year. I'm allowed to go to Focal Point every year. I get to go to Memphis to the lectureship. My eldership understands the importance of that network of other preachers and supporters. And I would encourage you, if you're thinking about in your congregation, to have an internship program to send them to these resources and make these resources available to them. So those are goals that I think we would all agree on, but they're straight from the eldership that put the program together that I have the privilege to be a part of. What are some specific recommendations? Where this is really where the rubber meets the road in what we do at Roanoke. First, regular assignments with deadlines, with accountability. We do a bulletin article. But when we have an intern, the intern typically does that. And writing is not my favorite thing to do. I'll do it, and I do it. But these guys need something regular that is noticed when it's not done and that they can be accountable for. And so that's one, you might consider it a tedious task. But I like to give that to them primarily because it's something routine, something regular that has a deadline. Our secretary wants the bulletin typically by 12:30 on Wednesday. So, David, when did we do it? Tuesday by 12 or 12:30. We set our own deadline for that task and that responsibility. What they need, here's some more specifics. They need an inside view of the workings of an eldership. That was the greatest thing for me as a young preacher at Cordova, is to be able to walk into, some might call it the Holy of Holies, the elder's office where they were having a meeting, and to see what actually goes on in there. I can tell you, as a preacher, you can lose a lot of frustration real quick if you'll go sit in that meeting, if you have the opportunity to go sit in there and see what those men are dealing with. As a young preacher, I'd never thought about the fact that these men were wrestling with problems in the lives of members of the congregation, that they had ulcers, that they were laying awake at night just thinking about that. You just don't know that because you don't get that academically. You have to get it through experience in an environment where you're allowed to get it. So I'm not saying you do that for the whole congregation, but for that man, if you really want to help him, give him an inside view of an elders' meeting regularly and let him see what actually takes place in the hearts and the minds and the lives of men who are shepherding God's people. He needs a periodic immersion in sermon and article preparation. I think with David and John, it was once a month, regularly, where they did the Bible class and the Sunday morning and Sunday night sermon. But in September of every year, they got everything. They got all the Bible classes. They got all the sermons. They got all the bulletin articles, everything. They got it because they needed to see what it was like to get past the point where you could go to your files from the past and get sermon outlines and preach them, to get to the point where they didn't have anything left to draw from. And they had to do two Bible classes and two sermons every week. It's not easy work. And you don't get that in academics and preaching school. And you won't get it in an environment like this unless you're given that opportunity. So if you do this, my recommendation would be do that for a month. Give him everything. But again, the congregation has to understand that. So they're not, why isn't the preacher preaching any this month? They have to understand what you're doing in that program. Another practical specific is doctrinal development. There were some instances where our interns could come up with their own sermons, but sometimes we gave them specific topics. And in fact, with David, on one occasion, in my yearly preaching calendar, I believe it was with you, that section for September, I just said, these are the sermons that I had planned for September. You do these sermons. So it was, you know, it was things that he had not had opportunity to prepare. But he needs that immersion in the work. He needs to be challenged to develop himself doctrinally. In a safe environment where you can say that's not right, and this is why it's not right, and this is what you should have said for that. Also, very practically, compensation. And I've said that about three times now, I guess. But here's why that is so important. All of the other reasons I said, you don't want him worrying about buying groceries and things of that nature during this time. But brethren, your compensation becomes his basis when he leaves there. If you only gave him a week of vacation, guess what he's going to get at his first work from there? Maybe 1 week of vacation. If you didn't allow him to go to Focal Point or polishing the pulpit or lectureships, guess how many opportunities he might get to go to those things? Maybe none. So it's important because it's his basis. And that, while I understand that completely, that didn't come from me. That came from my elders. They understand that because they know how that works when you hire a preacher. I mean, it typically goes something like, what did you make at your last work, right? That's never happened to me in the secular world. We pay somewhere between this and this for this job based on your experience. But we do it differently for some reason in the church. We want to work from where they were. And we figure, I don't know, maybe our intentions are probably good. We figure that's more money that we can put toward something else. But this is the guy that's preaching for your flock every Lord's Day. We need to make sure that we put him in a position to where he has a good basis from which to work. My elders provide health care insurance for me. I think they paid partially for the intern. Most congregations don't think about that. But our interns can go forth now and say, well, where I was, I got 2 weeks vacation. I got 2 weeks for lectureships or workshops. Half of my health insurance was paid, and this is what my salary was. They have something to work with that hopefully will put them in a good place so that they don't have to worry about their finances to the point that it affects their work. One other practical, specific recommendation have an exit survey. If you're going to do this, then get their feedback. All three of our guys sent the elders feedback. And I didn't get that at the time, but I got it on the back end as I was getting ready to prepare this lesson. But the elders needed it, and then they could work with me on anything that I needed to change or do better. But get feedback from these guys. They know. I mean, if they're out in the field, and maybe wait a year and then get it. When they are out in the field and they see, well, it would have been great if I had learned this. What my experience has been with these guys is there were specific things that we did that helped them, like the immersion in sermon preparation or the ability to see inside the elders' meetings and see how those things went. But I would suggest getting their feedback so you know how effective you've been. Don't start an intern program if you can't support the preacher and his family. I think you probably will do more harm than good if you can't support it as a congregation. Now, I offer this suggestion. During my internship at Cordova, I wrote all of my supporters from preaching school and told them what I was planning on doing. And they continued, for the most part, my support for that 1 year and helping me in that period of time where I was learning. So that might be an option in an area even where there are several congregations that are in close proximity. Could work together to support a young man to help in their area and get experience, maybe not from just one congregation, but from several congregations in your particular area. But the support is extremely important, and I would think of it that way. Don't start an intern program if your preacher is not fully committed to it. I was in a unique situation because I had been there and done that, and I knew how valuable that was for me. So when the elders told me that, I jumped on me. You know, that was a great opportunity, I thought, for me to give back based on what I had received. But if the preacher is going to become jealous, if he is not going to devote the time that needs to be devoted to help, if he's not going to look at that person that's working with him as someone who's trying to learn and gain valuable insight and experience, then I wouldn't do it. You might cause more damage to the intern. You might cause damage to your congregation because I'll just put myself in that situation as a preacher. I could create a divide in the congregation that wasn't there before because of my attitude toward that program. Don't start an intern program if you don't have substantive goals to help him or a vision as a congregation. If you're going to do this, as eldership, I would tell the congregation, this is what we're going to do, and this is why we're doing it. And this is why it's so important. I told the members at Roanoke on Sunday that I was coming here this week, had been assigned to this lesson, and reminded them how important they are in that process. They're not here, but they are a critical part because they're helping to formulate that beginning preachers' ideas and attitudes about local work and the local congregation. So I would have goals, and I would make sure the congregation knew what those were. And then finally, do start an internship program if you think your congregation is an environment that can provide valuable practical work experience for a young or old preacher who is just coming out of school and who needs that kind of experience for his work. This is what we do. It might work for you. If you have any questions or if you think about something later that I didn't mention or you have a question about, feel free to reach out to me and contact me, and I'll be happy to help you in any way I can. Thank you.